Welcome to Community Alert. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster with Ted Adams and Mike Williams, keeping you informed on how to get ready and be prepared. Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Hello, Santa Barbara. Welcome back to Community Alert. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster. Mike Williams sitting in solo today. Ted Adams still recuperating from his traffic collision. A couple of announcements here. June 11th, the Alisal River Golf Course, the celebrity golf tournament for the San Ynez Valley Emergency Preparedness Initiative, hosted by the Fire Services Training Institute, four of the Rotary Clubs out of the San Ynez Valley, and the Santa Barbara Chapter of the American Red Cross. More information will be coming out on that shortly. Again, that'll be June 11th at the Alisal River Golf Course. Save the date. We'll have more information coming out shortly. Also, the Santa Barbara Fire Alliance, June 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the Coral Casino, will be having their annual firefighter ball. Again, that's June 30th, 6:30 at the Coral Casino. For further information, give them a call at 708-3565, 708-3565, or visit their website at sbfirefightersalliance.org. This is a tremendous event for raising money to help subsidize equipment for the local fire departments. Today, we've got some great guests with us. Historical guests, I guess, are the way to put it. Dave and Barbara Hubert, and of course, Blaze of the California State Firefighters Steamer Team. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Michael.
We got quite a bit to talk about today. You guys were just in San Ynez Valley last week, had a great show there, Carriage Museum.
Yes, we attended a symposium and participated during the symposium at the San Ynez Carriage Museum and had a wonderful time.
That was fantastic.
And we had an opportunity to tell the audience about fire horses, fire dogs, and fire wagons of the early 1900s.
Well, Dave, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into the fire service? You're now retired from Orange County Fire Authority, but you have a long history with the fire service.
I do, and it started clear back in 1968 with the California Division of Forestry in Orange County, which became the California Department of Forestry, which became the Orange County Fire Department, which ended up the Orange County Fire Authority. Had a great 30-year career there, and learned a great deal, and a lot of things happened to me there. Ended up with the steamer program and became Hubie, the cartoonist for the California State Firefighters Association.
Well, you were in an area of Orange County that didn't really have anything in it back in 1964.
That's correct, 68. Yeah, when I started, we had 12 fire stations. And ironically, when I retired 30 years later, we had 64 fire stations. So I experienced a great deal of growth, saw a lot of things that happened to the fire service, but all in all, it was a tremendous opportunity. I served in every position that the fire service had to offer, and I truly enjoyed every last minute. As a matter of fact, I'd still be working today if the doctor hadn't given me a retirement.
Well, you were very active in the prevention side of things also, and that's what this show is all about, is prevention and education.
Yes, for 8 years, I was the fire defense coordinator for Orange County Fire, where I handled literally the new development projects, the fuel mod programs, what type of vegetation to use, community involvement, wildland inspections for our engine companies, not only our brush companies, but our structure engines. I got an awareness inside of the Schedule A program, which is normally the structure firefighting versus the Schedule B, which is wildland firefighting. And I got those guys to work with us on a lot of wildland fire protection and prevention programs.
What have you seen as the most significant changes in the fire service over your period of your career?
Residential attitudes. Of course, we were smart enough to present elements to the community that, you know, you have to take a lot of responsibility yourself. The only way we're going to save your house is with your help. There's just not enough firemen and not enough equipment to protect a community. Residents' responsibility with regard to maintaining their piece of property, cutting the brush back, building non-combustible homes, providing access, and miscellaneous things like that. We can go on and on and on all day long about good fire prevention, but too many people pay attention to the inside of the house and do not pay attention to the outside of the house, and that's the big change I've seen today.
Well, certainly here in Santa Barbara County, we stress field mitigation in a big way. And I just got back from Trinity County and Humboldt County 3 weeks ago now, and I've noticed that they are very actively getting involved in utilizing FireSafe grant funding up in there to kind of get the urban interface out of everybody's front yard. It's a huge difference.
It truly is. But again, it still falls upon the property owner. It's a simple equation. Realistically, all you have to do is look around, and anything that's burnable, you should take provisions to make sure that those things are taken care of.
Well, Barbara, I don't want to leave you out of the equation here. That was a long career for you, too, I take it.
Yes, it was. It was very long, especially in the beginning of Orange County when the guys were typically gone and gals for a long period of time because of all the wildland fires and the fact that it was CDF and they would be called out of county. So it was entirely commonplace for Dave to be gone 11, 12 days at a time, and of course there's no contact, and you know, the typical wife is sitting there wringing her hands, and the cell phones, and the worst thing I could do would be to call, right? I don't want to call headquarters and ask where my husband is, so there were a lot of nervous times, but I was always more than proud of what Dave was doing, so it made up for it.
Well, CDF then is certainly a lot different than what Cal Fire is today.
Well, I don't know. You know, quite frankly, there's only one good wildland firefighter, and that's the state, in my opinion. I've been there long enough to know, and I've seen those guys react. Cal Fire has a lot to be proud of. CDF had a lot to be proud of. Those guys automatically know how to fight fire. It's just phenomenal to see them get together. Yeah, I've been on so many of them, and I've seen the coordination and the strategy and the tactics that those people use. I could tell you stories from here to Friday about some of the things I've been on and how they've done for our state. You look at today what's happening, and the community is giving us a tough time about our pensions and a tough time about the pays, and it's just. The average constituent, I don't think, really recognizes what services they're getting from the government. You look at the poor policeman. Mm-hmm. Good grief. Look at the job that they have to do. Look, we have good, solid streets to drive on. The street lighting works. We have water every time you open up the spigot. There's a lot of things that the people take for granted that bugs me.
Well, it's easy, and then you go for if you travel at all, even if you leave California, or even if you go up into Northern California, it's not everybody's living large in Northern California, and even Hawaii's got tremendous poverty in it, and it's just travel around, and we take a lot for granted here.
Yeah,
and running water is one of them.
Truly.
But Barbara, you were going to say something. You wanted to add into that.
No, I was just fine with all of it.
Well, at some point, Dave, you got interested in a steamer. Let's start getting into that and how you got into the steamer business.
Well, it was so ironic. You know, I went through a midlife crisis, and I had this sweet thing that's next to me here. We've been married 43 years, and I had my midlife crisis around age 38, I think, and I got into auto racing, and I started racing the NASCAR Winston Cup Series, and it was like taking $1,000 bills and putting it in a carburetor and watching it come out as smoke. Well, we ruined that race car, and then we were down going to buy another race car, and lo and behold, this guy told me about this old steam fire engine that was for sale, and Barbara bought it for my 25th wedding anniversary, and it's all up from there.
Well, hold that thought. We're up to our first break here. Community Alert, Not It, But Win, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Visiting today with David and Barbara Hubert, and of course, the dog Blaze. KZSB AM 1290, your Santa Barbara News Press Radio and newspress.com. We'll be back after these announcements. Well, Welcome back to Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Ted still on recuperation after his accident. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert, and of course Blaze sitting behind me here, keeping watch over my activities. So there you were. Let's get back to the steamer. There you were. The steamer shows up at your house. What happened then?
Well, I was quite surprised to see this rusted piece of history sitting in my driveway.
Well, it didn't come all built, ready to rock.
No, it was really in very poor shape. It was anyway. To make a long story short, we were fortunate to have it. You know, they built about 170 of this particular model. This is known as the American Metropolitan. It was made by the great grandfather of American LaFrance, called the American Fire Engine Company. And Barbara found it for me and bought it for my 25th wedding anniversary, which is a tremendous gift. But she's pretty smart. She's a lot smarter than I am, and she knows how to keep her husband happy. She keeps me in a garage with country and western music and plenty of Miller beer in the refrigerator. And so I tinkered with that thing along with my son's help and my wife and daughter's backing. And it took us about 5 years to restore this historical gem. And it's Reno number one. And like I say, they built about more than 100 of them. And there's only seven of them left. Six of them are in museums, and this is the only one that's still functional and travels. L.A. County's got one that they're in the process of putting together, and it's going to be another beautiful rig. But it's a real piece of our fire service heritage, and it's a true element of our great-grandfather's engineering ability.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to machine your own parts and do the whole thing because none of that stuff's available anymore.
Took that thing down to zero, the frame, and my son and I, we sanded it and we researched it. We put everything back together the way it should have been, and it's now a functional, one of very few functional steam fire engines. It's a second-size unit. It pumps 1,000 gallons of water a minute, and it's pulled by three horses. We had them up at San Ynez for the parade up there and absolutely have a ball. We do about, thanks to CSFA sponsorship, I should say, we do about 40 shows a year all over the state of California. Absolutely have a ball with it. And thanks to the support of my little chick here.
Well, you're a frequent guest of the Rose Parade, too, correct?
Yeah, we've done 10 Rose Parades to date. Absolute have a ball over there. And the thing that I like about touring throughout California is we only do this for the fire service. We don't charge anything for it, thanks to CSFA sponsorship. And we're there to support the local fire departments in their social activities. And, of course, the element is fire prevention. We talk a lot to the children, and Blaze does some fire prevention tricks.
And, yes, she's our message carrier for sure. She has red toenails, which you cannot see on the radio. And what we hope happens is that as the children visit with Blaze and as she performs her fire prevention tricks, that they'll better retain the message because of having been mm-hmm. with the dog and seeing the toenails and enjoying the whole time. And maybe they'll remember all those all important messages like stop, drop, and roll and crawl low in the smoke and all the little things that Blaze does for her. So she's been quite a joy to the whole program.
Well, I know you're going to be back in Santa Barbara on June 11th because you'll be at the Alisal River Golf Celebrity Tournament that
Correct.
We're holding, and you'll be right there out front. So if people that want to see this, they have a chance to see it yet again on June 11th.
And we're greatly looking forward to being back in this beautiful area.
And we have all of the elements, you might say, Mike. We have the children fall in love with the dog. The ladies fall in love with the horses, and the men fall in love with the mechanical, ingenious piece mm-hmm. of steam engine there. So there's something there for everyone. And you have an opportunity to talk about the historical elements of the fire service and also what it means to us today. And what I like about it is we have face-to-face contact with the people. Actually ask them questions about when was the last time you realistically changed your smoke detector? Mm-hmm. And have you thought about getting with your kids and having them physically go through an escape exercise? And you'd be surprised how many people, well, we talked about it, but we've never physically done it. And then we take it to a step further with Blaze. How about your pets? What's going to happen to your pets when you have a fire? You know, sometimes they get forgotten and they get lost.
I remember I attended as a guest the 100th graduating class of Allen Hancock Fire Academy, and Ronnie Coleman was the guest speaker. You remember this because you guys were up there.
Yeah.
And they had the steamer parked right next to one of Santa Maria's brand new off-the-line fire apparatus. And I remember Ronnie Coleman talking about how there's very little difference between the steamer and the fire apparatus today, and that we all wanted to put to challenge, because I thought that steamer would actually beat today's apparatus.
Well, the steamer, like I say, our steamer, unit 2823, I have to get that manufacturer's number in there, is rated at 1,000 gallons a minute. And we steam it up about 5 or 6 times a year. And at three-quarter throttle opening, the thing can pump 4 2.5-inch hose lines. Well, anyone knows that a 2.5-inch hose line, each one of them is good for 250 gallons a minute. We have never opened that throttle all the way up, and I'm sure we can get to 1250 to 1500, which is a fire engine of today.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was with you folks up in Paso Robles, and we had the race. You actually raced the steamer against a steam locomotive and won. Of course, those are some mammoth horses drawing that thing.
Three horsepower, yeah.
Yeah, and they always have to be drafts, so they can go pretty fast.
Yeah, that was a fun weekend. And another fun weekend was at Hollister Ranch. You guys had some special activities there.
Yeah, we hooked the horses up there, and we gave some rides to some people. And like I say, that it has interest for everyone. The horses, and I did a program for the audience up at San Ynez about fire horses, fire dogs, and old fire engines, and it was quite a. It's just neat to talk about the old fire horses of yesterday, mm-hmm. and some of the great stories.
I never appreciated how big they are until I got right up next to one, and that was kind of an education for me, because these are some beefy animals.
Right, I have to get on a ladder to even help do any of the quaffing, any of the combing or anything like that. They are huge, and their hooves are just gigantic.
18 hands high, 2,000 pounds apiece, and they have a 7 to 8 inch hoof. They're known as the Morgan Percheron. The Morgan, because the Morgan had a great temperament and fast, and the Percheron, which is a draft horse because of his power and agility.
You guys did a reenactment up in San Francisco that was kind of interesting and there's some great video of that.
That was an experience of a lifetime. It was the 100th commemoration of the Great Quake. And we were privileged to be invited to it and went up there and stayed several days, participated in many events, steamed up the engine. In fact, Dave will have to tell you what its year was, but we pumped water to the water tower.
Yeah, old Mac, a 1912 Mac water tower. It took 100 pounds of pressure to elevate the mast, then it took another 100 pounds to telescope it, then it took 125 pounds of pressure to squirt water out the end of it, and it was a true piece of Americana history.
But you actually went out and reenacted the initial response to the earthquake.
Right. That was another fantastic experience. At 5:12 in the morning, right between 5:12 and 5:13 is when the actual earthquake occurred. And at the time we were up there, it was dark. And what we did was we brought the steamer through town in a full gallop as if it were responding to the earthquake. And there were 50,000 people crowded all around. Of course, you know, safety was certainly an issue, so they had barricades. It was absolutely unbelievably spine-chilling just to see that reenactment. And we went right toward the Lotta, where the Lotta's fountain is today, and learned, as Dave and I didn't really realize, that Lotta's fountain was one of the only places that anybody could go and meet, because unfortunately the tragedy was so devastating that all the buildings were gone. So people would meet in that location. They'd say, I'll meet you tomorrow at Lotta's fountain. So we took the steamer down there and responded just as if it were going to pump to the earthquake fire.
Outstanding. Well, we're up to our next break here, and I want to get the website out. We're going to have two today, but the first one is going to be csfa.net, www.csfa.net. If you want to learn more about the steamer, you can go there, and there's a tab that you can click on. There's steamer history on there. Again, csfa.net. I want to thank a couple of our sponsors, California State Firefighters Association and the Fire Services Training Institute out of Sacramento. Mike Williams, Ted Adams, Richard Dugan working the board. Ted still at home recuperating on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster on KZSB AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio and newspress.com after these announcements.
The views expressed on Community Alert are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back to Community Alert, Not If, But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Mike Williams, Ted Adams, Richard Dugan working the board. Ted's still at home recuperating from his traffic accident, but he's doing much better, and he appreciates all your cards, letters, and phone calls of support. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert, the CSFA steamer team, and we've been talking about what it was like in Cal Fire, which once upon a time was CDF, and the history of the steamer program. But I want to get into another area that I'm most fascinated with, and that's your cartooning. How did you get into cartooning?
Well, when I first went into fire prevention in Orange County Fire Department, they had a safety bulletin, and they recognized my artwork, and they wanted me to do cartoons of particular accidents that happened throughout the month. It was a monthly publication, and I would pick out the most obnoxious accident that happened, and I would cartoon it. And boy, that just blossomed in it. And I went to the training manuals, and I started doing the ladder manuals, and it just enhanced itself. And then CSFA saw it, and they wanted to have a monthly cartoon. And you know, there's a tremendous amount of gallows humor in the fire station, and there's great humor in the fire station. And I would get monstrous requests from everyone. Do a cartoon about him. He's retiring. Let's do a portrait of him. And anyway, it evolved into almost a second job. I literally spend a day of each week now doing artwork for the fire service, and still doing for CSFA. The thing that bothers me the most is that. A lot of people out there do not have a sense of humor.
They're kind of uptight, I think, is the word you're looking for.
And there's some major magazines that I've done cartoons for that refuse to print them because the editor didn't understand the magazine. Well, the editors are one thing, but the readers are another thing. You know, I think that the readers are what you have to adjust your publication to. Not that the cartoons were in bad taste, but they're technical in nature where the fire guy can understand it. And the publisher, who's not a fire person, doesn't understand it. So that's been a struggle for me. But again, the sweet thing that I'm married to, and beyond, I didn't know this, she was doing this, but she put all these artwork together, and she published a book on my cartoons for the last 30 years, and Hubie and the Fire Service, and it's been a neat publication.
Well, it was a big joy to put it together. What really happened, Michael, was Dave is such a perfectionist when he does his artwork that what he would do is he would throw away all kinds of, if it wasn't perfect, it was always in the trash. And I would retrieve it. I would literally retrieve it back out of the trash. And I thought, someday, 20 years from now, I'm going to do some kind of a tribute to him because he really has a talent. Well, long story short, I collected a lot of things throughout the years, and he's pretty modest. He didn't mention he's really been drawing since he was little. I even had some of his early art. And it was such a joy for me to put it all in a book as a tribute to his ability and a real tribute to the fire service, because the cartooning is hysterical. It's very, very funny. and you know, mostly taken off of actual incidents that occurred.
Well, I've bought many copies of your book and given them out as gifts because I think it's fantastic. And for anybody that's interested in cartooning and art, this is a great book to have because it shows the evolution of your work and how you got to it. There's another book called Snoopy on the Peanuts that I bought for you guys as a gift.
Right, thank you.
I've really enjoyed reading that book, and I've actually read the whole thing, and it shows the evolution of Charles Schulz's work and how the characters came to be and why and the level of sophistication, and yet it's so simple. And that's the thing about cartooning that I think is so interesting is that it is so simple, and yet it's so complex, and the message that it frequently gets that just a couple of simple lines can convey emotion and a spirit and stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily put into text. And it must have taken a long time to kind of master that because you've got it wired now.
Well, don't forget, I spent 30 years in fire stations too,
right.
And work in headquarters and fire stations and been on a lot of fires. And so I have experienced the texture of that humor firsthand.
Well, you came up with another character that Fire Services Training Institute kind of logged on to, and we now use as our mascot, and that's Jake. What was the evolution of Jake?
Jake came from Bill Tye, who is a phenomenal educator. He was our assistant chief in Orange County at the time, and he has a great knack of putting things in black and white, taking the evolution of firefighting and the ability to train people and writing it in a simple format and simple terms where it's basic guys can understand what his objectives are. And he wanted to have an icon, and that was Jake.
Well, I kind of looked at Jake as the Charlie Brown of the fire service, and he's a little tighter wound than Charlie Brown is. But,
well, I have something to say about that. I produced about six different drawings for Bill Tye about this character, Jake, and it went from one extreme to the other. And he, of course, is the one who made the final decision on it. And like you say, it seems tight.
Well, you know, I looked at Jake from Bill's point of view as being Jack Webb, just right out of the DI film, straight and narrow, straight gig line, perfect cropped hair, shiny boots, the whole bit. And yet Jake is that way in his belief system, but he's not that way in his presence. His presence is shirt tail out, unkept care, just one of the boys, and would just assume go have a hamburger than to sit down at a five-star restaurant.
Yeah, but also on the same token, there's an objective that is trying to be met. And today's fire service is different than yesterday's fire service where I served my time. And it has a different culture there. It's just more technical, in my opinion. They're smarter, much smarter. In my day when I was hired, I was a carpenter and I was a plumber and a mechanic. I knew all that stuff from the ground level up. It was so interesting. I talked to the personnel clerk here at Orange County Fire Authority, and they want firemen now with degrees, and they're not hiring the basic guy anymore. And it's much to my consternation. It's just, you know, I think we need to hire firemen rather than hiring fire chiefs. But and the guy needs to come up through the ranks, and that's what makes a better fire chief, in my opinion. But that's just me. And I'm still considered a dinosaur, I guess.
Well, it's like all careers. It's becoming highly technical. It's becoming highly specialized. It's becoming highly regulated. This field trip we just did up in Trinity and Humboldt counties, it's the mandates that people are complaining about and the over-regulation and who's going to pay for all of this and how much training do you really need to do for tasks that are fairly more remedial than they are intellectual, and that how much of this is a byproduct of over-regulation and risk management and driven by litigation than actually making things any more efficient, because the actual job itself really hasn't changed that much.
I agree. But of course, when I was a firefighter, I was on an engine and a truck company. Now we have hazmat, we have paramedics. My son's now a paramedic, and I listen to him talk now. He's passed me up a great deal. But so be it. I am proud of the fire service and what the fire service has done. We offer more for the constituents now than we've ever offered to them, I should say. And I'm proud of the fire service. I'm proud of what they've done. I'm proud of how they've done it. And they are true professionals.
Well, getting back to Barbara's book, if you're interested in getting a copy of the book, it is available. You can go to the CSFA website, and it's available on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not – how much does it cost? I don't recall. $75,
well,
isn't it?
Well, the retail price is $75, but we give a substantial discount on the site.
But they can get a hold of you directly by calling CSFA at 800-451-CSFA, 1-800-451-CSFA, or visit the website csfa.net. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert, and of course the dog Blaze sitting behind me keeping a watchful eye on me. On Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster on KZSB AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio and newspress.com. We'll be back after these brief announcements. Welcome back to Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Mike Williams, Ted Adams, Richard Dugan working the board again for us. Ted's still recovering at home following his accident, but he's doing much better. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert from the CSFA Steamer Team. And I want to talk about what your latest passion is, and that is the California Fire Museum. And let me get the website out for that. It's www.cafiremuseum.org. That's cafiremuseum.org. And there's a telephone number if you have questions about this, too, and we'll get it out again later. It's 949-493-8718. That's 493-8718, and the area code's 949. So, Barbara, let's start with you. What is the Fire Museum?
All right. The California Fire Museum, actually, we started about 8 years ago putting the whole concept together of building something that would represent the fire service and have all the community be able to participate in, with an emphasis on public safety and public education. And I'm on the board, I'm the secretary, and Dave is vice president. And what we did is we approached, there's a large area in Orange County that was the former El Toro Marine Base. Mm-hmm. And the El Toro Marine Base is destined to be the Great Park. And the Great Park down in the Irvine area is also destined to be approximately almost twice the size of Central Park in New York. So we thought that that would be a terrific place for an opportunity for the Fire Museum. And we approached the Great Park and have been working with them for over 5 years now, and are excited to say that we've been accepted and been given a piece of property there to build a museum on. It's approximately 3 acres. I think it's between 3 and 4. And we're very much looking forward to doing that. And Dave can get into the details of the museum itself. It's not only a fire museum. It's going to be very, very heavily focused on safety. So it's going to be, he has developed an area called the Road to Safety, and we're excited to have lots of different entities participate in that, like the electric company, the gas company, and everything in this Road to Safety will represent all the different types of safety that the public needs to learn about.
Now, will it also have a museum, or, I mean, excuse me, a library associated with it?
That's correct. You'll have an archives, it'll have a library, and it'll have an area in this Road to Safety where a lot of businesses and corporations can exhibit their safety wares, and it's a place where people can come to actually see firsthand what everything from poison control to wildland fire safety. It's got to cover all forms of safety in our day-to-day life, you know. So many fire departments, because of the budget cuts anymore, they don't have a lot of programs anymore. Mm-hmm. That they can reach out to the community. And yet, we feel we'll have a way. It's very difficult to find CPR training anymore. We'll have a classroom there. We'll have a community education program that will be the talk of the neighborhood.
So who do you have as sponsors? Who's helping subsidize this and make it happen for us?
Well, at the current time, It's interesting you'd say that, Michael, because we're just entering the fundraising phase.
Okay.
So what we're about to launch would be all different types of fundraisers throughout the community, and to approach people who will be able to hopefully be interested enough to donate to the museum itself. But we've just gone into that phase right now, the fundraising phase.
So what's your budget? What's the goal and what you have to raise?
Well, we have 3 years to raise the $5 million for the first phase. They've earmarked 3.5 acres for us. We've got the architectural plans all complete. The business plan is all complete. And we're now interviewing fundraising professionals to take a look at this. We, you know, feel have a great program. We've got a solid format to work with. And we have a commitment from the great parks. And just we're in our infancy of getting this done.
So you say $5 million for the first phase. How many phases are there?
Three-phase program, $5 million each. So it's going to be a $15 million program. Conservative program. It's not going to be a very elaborate thing, but we're going to have more depth and excitement. And it's not going to be a typical dark museum. It's going to be a bright, colorful, educational area where people can come and be proactive and interactive and see what life safety is all about.
So it's going to be live. It's going to be something that people engage and become part of.
Right. Lots of interactive displays. Dave and I and several of the other members on the board have taken several years to visit many, many museums throughout the United States in order to glean, you know, the best aspects. And what we've learned was that the interactive part of any museum is definitely the most successful, which isn't surprising. How we learn is typically through doing ourselves. So there is a lot that we can do in that area, and we do plan to offer all of the interactive programs possible.
Well, I like the Chicago Natural History Museum. It's got a lot of interactive. So is the Los Angeles Natural History Museum, also very interactive. Right. And there's a neat little museum here in Santa Barbara that people don't know about that is also somewhat interactive, and they've got some great displays up there, fantastic displays. So how'd you end up getting in the museum thing? You've gone from firefighting to race cars to cartooning to now you're in the museum business.
Well, it's just a passion that we have to be able to give something back to a neat profession and ultimately the community. You know, I just had a heck of a birthday party here. Man, over 70 years old now, and I don't know where I get all this energy, but it's just neat to be associated with a giving back element. You know, all the things that you've – all you have to do is see a burned child, and you just – commit yourself to make sure that doesn't happen again, and that's our commitment. Once you see something like that, or a burn home, or you know, there's a lot of value and terribleness to those things. And you just, as a firefighter, you just do not want that to see that happen anymore.
And there's no reason that it should happen.
No.
And that's the thing about public safety and in medicine and some of these other areas where you're actually hands-on on the part that people in general tend to ignore or not pay attention to because it's uncomfortable.
Yep.
It's where the real world is. And when you start seeing people burned and crippled or even in our co-host Ted Adams' case, near fatality on a traffic accident, he can't speak highly enough about what the rehabilitation process has been and how much help he's had from the hospital and the physicians. With multiple injuries. But that's not stuff that the public as a whole sees, and they certainly don't see it on that rainy night on the side of the road in the dark when you're having to bring people out of the front of a dashboard.
Yeah.
Boy, you're so right, Michael. So. And the fact that the California Fire Museum we really call it California Fire Museum Safety Learning Center. So we're very excited. If we only save a few lives, we're already way ahead.
Well, I know one of my keen interests in it is the library component, and that I've talked with several people, Ronnie Coleman being one of the most notable, that have huge libraries of research of 30, 40, 50 years of research, and I'm talking substantive research, that's sitting in places that needs to have a home.
This is a clearinghouse for our profession is what this will be.
Most of what we're taking advantage of today is a lot of trial and error over 50, 60 years, and it's all documented. And that's one of the exciting parts about the Fire Museum that I think people need to be aware of, is that this is going to be a place that you can go to and learn and do research. And I want to get this email address, or excuse me, website out again. It's cafiremuseum.org. That's cafiremuseum.org. And the phone number, if you have any questions or want to get involved in this terrific project, 949-493-8718. 949-493-8718. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert, and of course Blaze, the guard dog, watching over me intently. Richard Dugan working the board on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster on KZSB AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio, and live on newspress.com. We'll be back after these messages.
The views expressed on Community Alert are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome back, Santa Barbara, to Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Visiting today with Dave and Barbara Hubert from the California State Firefighters Association Steamer Team. Barbara, tell us a little bit about BlazeTheFireDog.com.
Oh, thank you, Michael, for that opportunity. What we do out on the California Fire Museum site, or you can just go directly to BlazeTheFireDog.com, which is linked to the site, and what happens is that we put seasonal messages out for children, and we dress Blaze in garments of the season. For example, at Christmas time, she would have been dressed in a Santa outfit. Oh, she's roughing in the background.
Knows her name.
And then we put messages for children that are commensurate with the season. An example would be, we just changed our clocks, and many people know that that's a perfect time to remind mom and dad to check their smoke detector and change their batteries.
Okay. Very good.
So I urge anybody who has young folks, go out to BlazeTheFireDog.com. There are no spaces in that. And enjoy Blaze in her seasonal garments with a little message for the children.
Now, if folks want to get involved or learn more about the California Fire Museum, how should they do it?
Okay, the best way to do it is start with our actual site, cafiremuseum.org, and go out there and research it a little bit, and then please feel free to call the telephone number that you provided in the in this segment, and we'll be glad to fill you in with any information and give you a status of where we are.
Well, that number, 949-493-8718, 949-493-8718, or you can give CSFA a call at 1-800-451-CSFA, 1-800-451-CSFA, and they will transfer you down to Dave and Barbara.
Yeah, and this is a real opportunity. If anyone has any new ideas about fire prevention and life safety that they'd like to help us out with, and of course, any way you can, we'd enjoy talking to you about it.
Well, we've got a lot of interested people up here in Santa Barbara in the fire service, as you know. Yeah. And this particular show is going to also be at the CSFA website. It'll be at the FSTI website. We'll put it on the San Ynez Valley website. Mm-hmm. It'll be at the California Fire Museum's website. This show is going to actually get out there. So we want to promote how to get a hold of you folks and how to help the museum as best we can, because I think it's an important adventure that needs to be followed through, and we need community support to make it work.
Well, thank you for your support, because it's a very exciting endeavor.
Well, thank you both for taking time to visit with us. I know you keep a busy schedule.
Yeah, well, thanks for allowing us to be here. It's an honor to be able to talk about our profession and what we're doing for it, and it's just great.
Well, they'll be back in Santa Barbara on June 11th at the Alisal River Golf Course for the Celebrity Golf Tournament that we're holding with the Fire Services Training Institute, San Ynez Valley Rotary Clubs, as well as the American Red Cross Santa Barbara County chapter on a fundraiser. Again, that date, June 11th at the Alisal River Golf Course, and we'll have more information and specifics coming out shortly. Also be on several of the websites. We visited today with Dave and Barbara Hubert of the California State Firefighters Association Live Steamer Team, and also promoting the California Fire Museum, and that website again, cafiremuseum.org, cafiremuseum.org, or the phone number 949-493-8718, 493-8718. Also of interest, coming soon, is going to be The Steamer, an American Icon. This is a documentary on the live steamer, both the CSFA steamer and the history of the fire service and the evolutionary aspects of the fire service. And again, that's going to be The Steamer, an American Icon, and that'll be out shortly. Also will be available at CSFA.net and the CAFireMuseum.org website, so look for that in the next few months. Also want to promote one more time Santa Barbara Firefighters Alliance, their annual fireball to be held June 3rd. That'll be a Friday night, June 3rd, 6:30 p.m. at the Coral Casino. Santa Barbara Fire Alliance supporting all of the local fire agencies with equipment, training, and supplies. For further information, give them a call at 708-3565, 708-3565, or visit the Fire Alliance website at sbfirefightersalliance.org. That's sbfirefightersalliance.org. On behalf of Ted Adams, who's still recuperating, he wants to thank each and every one of you that have called, written, and sent emails for your support. Mike Williams, Richard Dugan, that's it for now. Appreciate you listening on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster on KZSB AM 1290. The news is next. See you next week.
This has been Community Alert, produced by the Wildland Residents Association, San Marcos Pass Volunteer Fire Department, in association with the Santa Barbara County Fire Safe Council. Community Alert is proud to be part of the Orpala Fund Initiative, Aware and Prepare, a community partnership to strengthen emergency and disaster readiness. If you would like to help support the program, you may send your tax-deductible donations to the Wildland Residents Association, 5655 West Camino Cielo, Santa Barbara, California, 93105. That's the Wildland Residents Association, 5655 West Camino Cielo, Santa Barbara, California, 93105. Comments regarding this Community Alert program may be sent online to community@wildlandresidents.org. That's community@wildlandresidents.org. Or you may call 964-7194. That's 964-7194. Production assistance for Community Alert is provided by Richard Dugan and Jim Williams. Community Alert, not if, but when disaster strikes.